Akampan, one of the few Rakshasas who survived the great slaughter at Panchavati, fled to Lanka, and seeking audience of Ravan said, "Almost all of our people who occupied Janastan are dead, and Janastan is now an empty ruin. I alone have managed to escape with life." Ten-headed Ravan was furious with anger. He stared and violently shouted, "Who has destroyed my lovely Janastan? Was it the god of death, fire, or Vishnu? I shall deal death to the god of death. I shall burn up both the god of fire and the sun. I shall strangle and suffocate the god of wind. Tell me, who was it that destroyed Janastan and killed my men, heedless that I am here to avenge? Speak out at once." It was ever dangerous to carry unpleasant news to tyrants. Akampan was frightened by the king's rage and said, "I shall speak if you give me protection." He then told his tale. "Ram, son of King Dasarath, a young warrior, lion-like in fierce valor, a hero who has already acquired fame among men, fought with Kar and Dushan at Panchavati, and he destroyed them." The Rakshasa king hissed like a cobra and said,
"What are you talking? How did this happen? Did Indra and the divine hosts come down to earth and fight on Ram's side?"
Akampan answered,
No such thing happened, great king. Alone did Ram stand against our whole army and its commanders and destroyed them all. And Kar and Dushan also were slain. The deadly arrows issuing from Ram's bow, like five-headed serpents, pursued the Rakshasas wherever they went and destroyed them."
And he went on to describe at length Ram's skill and speed in the use of his weapons. And so Ravan learnt that Dasarath's son, Ram, with his younger brother Lakshman, was at Panchavati, and that he alone, without even his brother's aid, had done it all, and that no gods had assisted him.
"Well," said Ravan, "I do not understand this, but I shall start at once. I shall destroy these little worms of men and return."
And he rose.
Hear me, great king, before you go. Listen to me. No one can fight with Ram and conquer him. When I say no one, I mean no one. Not even you can do it. Because you have promised me protection, I dare thus to tell you the plain truth. There is only one way of killing him. His wife is with him. No one on earth is her equal in beauty. If you contrive to carry her off, separation from her will kill Ram. So great is his love for her. Consider how you can do this, but do not think of battle with him."
When he heard of Sita's beauty, the Rakshasa's desire was kindled. He began to think that the defeat of Kar and his hosts was indeed a fortunate event that brought him an opportunity for gaining one more beautiful queen and wife. He welcomed Akampan's advice and said,
"Tomorrow morning I shall go. I think your plan is good."
Accordingly, Ravan set out in his mule-yoked flying chariot, which gleamed like the moon among the clouds as it sped fast in the air. He went straight to Mariche's dwelling. Mariche duly welcomed his king and inquired what urgent necessity brought him there. Ravan answered,
"Hear me, Mariche. You and you alone can help me. Janastan colony has been destroyed, and so too the whole army I had stationed there. All this is the work of Ram, son of King Dasarath. Isn't it amazing? Well, To avenge myself, I am resolved to carry off his wife. In this, I need your advice and help.
Marich, whose experience of Ram's prowess had seared into his soul, was horrified and tried to dissuade Ravan from his mad enterprise.
What plan is this? Some enemy determined to destroy you, but pretending to be your friend, has given you this plan of carrying off Sita. Whoever gave you this advice wishes the end of the Rakshasa race. It is like advising you to put your hand into the mouth of a sleeping cobra and pull out its fang. Haven't you a happy home and devoted wives? Return to them and enjoy your life and prosperity. To hanker after Ram's wife is the highway to disgrace and destruction and the annihilation of the Rakshasa race.
Ravan must have then remembered the omission in the series of boons he had secured. He had obtained immunity from the attacks of all beings except men. Ram's shafts had conquered and killed the whole army with Kar, Trishiris, Dushan, and other mighty warriors. Thinking of all this, Ravan accepted Marich's advice and returned to Lanka. But fate would not let him be. Ravan was seated on his throne with his counselors around him. Majesty shone on his face like a sacrificial flame fed with ghee, and his mighty body showed the scars of many wounds received in victorious battles. His strength and courage were limitless, but so was his unrighteousness. He had no equal in persecuting demigods, spoiling sacrifices, and carrying away women. The hosts of demigods and demons were mortally afraid of him. He was a terror to all creatures. Enjoying wealth and varied pleasures, freed from the fear of death, the ruler of Lanka knew no master or rival and feared neither God nor sin. With his 10 heads, large eyes, and huge limbs, his figure was terrible, but it also possessed the marks of royalty. Gorgeously dressed and bejeweled as he sat on his throne, surrounded by his ministers in the midst of splendor, there suddenly appeared before him, like a vision of the doomed to be, his sister Shurpanaka, bleeding and mutilated, a shape of pain and sorrow and shame. While all looked at her with horror-struck eyes, in stunned silence, her anguish broke out in burning words.
What a fool you are, that sunk in sensual pleasures, and arrogantly secure of sovereignty, you are not awake to the deadly danger that threatens your existence at your very doors. Surely that king who is drunk with self-importance and dead to all signs that threaten his state is doomed to shame and destruction. No object is of less account or more contemptible than a ruler who falls through his own negligence. Know you not that your brothers Kar, Dushan, and Trishiris, and your gallant army of 14,000 fierce Rakshasas have been exterminated by Ram, a mere man, and that your outpost at Janastan has been destroyed? One moment, I saw a single warrior stand proud in the glittering pageantry of war, and the next, your men lay dead, slain by that man's arrows, strewing the ground like ripe crops, devastated by a terrible hailstorm. And you see me, your own sister, disgraced, mutilated, and heartbroken? Have you no thoughts of vengeance, you, a hero, a brother, a king?
Stung by her contempt, and heart struck by her suffering and sorrow, Ravan said,
Be sure you shall have vengeance. But this Ram, who is he? What sort of man is he? What are his weapons? How does he fight? What does he seek in the Dundak forest? And how did it happen that you were so cruelly mutilated?
She gave a description of the brothers and Sita, dwelling on the virile beauty and powers of the brothers, and growing enthusiastically eloquent about the superlative loveliness of Sita. She gave a description of the brothers and Sita, dwelling on the virile beauty and powers of the brothers, and growing enthusiastically eloquent about the superlative loveliness of Sita. She said,
I have no words to describe her perfections. I have never seen such sublime beauty in any created thing, be it a heavenly damsel or a daughter of man. Now I will tell you why this ghastly outrage was perpetrated on me. On seeing this Sita, I felt that none but you deserved her, and that she was fully worthy to share your bed. And out of my love for you, I tried to carry her off for you. Lakshman, who was standing by, prevented it. Springing on me, he disfigured and disgraced me thus. For your sake, all this I have suffered. If you wish to avenge this insult and protect the honor of the race, rise and go at once. Apart from revenge for the insult I have suffered, secure for yourself a wife worthy of you. If you capture her and disgrace Ram, the spirits of the warriors who were slain in Dundak would be satisfied. I too shall feel that some amends have been made for the dishonor done to me. You do not know your own strength. You can easily secure Sita and make her your own. And can you remain indifferent to the insult to your race? Kar and Dushan lie dead in Janistan because they dared oppose Ram. Think of all this, and then do what is right. Save the honor of our race.
Listening to these words of his sister and her praise of Sita's beauty, Ravan dissolved the council and retired to muse alone. He had to think and think again, because he remembered what Marich had told him. He turned in his mind the pros and cons, and finally coming to a decision, ordered a chariot to be kept ready in secrecy. It was ready, his golden chariot, drawn by mules bearing demon faces. Mounting it, he passed over sea and land and cities. As he looked from his magic chariot at the sights of the summer season down below, his passions grew stronger. He reached Marich's ashram and met Marich, who, with matted hair and bark garments, lived the life of an ascetic. Seeing his king and kinsmen, Marich welcomed Ravan duly and said,
Why have you come all this way a second time and unannounced?
Ravan, skillful in speech, began,
I am in great trouble, from which only you can save me, and I beg your help. Do you know how my brothers under my orders ruled Janistan, and how they and their warriors knew no opposition all these years? But now, this man Ram, he has killed them and their whole army. Without a chariot, and standing on the ground, his arrows have pierced to death all our kinsmen. Today, in the Dundak forest, rid of Rakshasas, the sages live fearless lives. This Ram is a worthless prince, banished by his father, no doubt for some crime. He's been wandering in the forest alone with his wife, Sita. This fellow dressed like an ascetic, but enjoying sense pleasures, this renegade from virtue, proud of his strength and for no other reason, has mutilated the face of my sister and insulted our race. My sister, who has suffered this pain and shame, has come and complained to me. If with all this I were to sit still and do nothing, would I still be a king? To avenge myself, I have decided to carry off Ram's wife from the Dundak forest. To disgrace and punish this Ram is a duty I owe to my race. And for this, I need your help. With you to help me, I have no fear. In courage, strength, skill, and magic powers, none on earth can equal you. That is why I have come to you, and you cannot refuse me. Now I will tell you how you can help me. You must turn yourself into a golden deer. Yes, a golden deer with silver spots, casting a spell on all eyes. In that shape, you will romp in front of Sita near Ram's ashram. True to the character of women, she will insist on Ram and Lakshman pursuing and capturing you for her. When they are thus engaged, and she is left alone, I shall easily carry her off. Sita is a most beautiful woman. Ram, losing such a wife, is sure to languish in sorrow and lose his manly spirit. It will then be easy to kill him and avenge ourselves.
Maurice stared at Robin. His face became pale, and his mouth grew parched. He was frightened by Robin's plan. With his experience of Ram's prowess and his own wisdom born of penance, Maurice saw what was going to happen. He knew that Robin's sinful purpose had not the ghost of a chance to succeed. It was clear to him that the noose of fate was round Robin's neck, dragging him to inevitable ruin. He had spoken, no doubt, of the honor of the Rakshasas, of the duties of kingship, and of the insult to Shurpanaka. But he was really impelled by a lustful desire to possess Sita. All this Maurice saw.